You know, me and my bride, we went to a conference Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and over in Ohio, and it was an apostolic leadership thing there, looking at gathering as many and then setting them in all 12 different places in America, and in order to have men and women be able to have a place to come to and, you know, a strong presence in that place. Oh, this thing fell off. That's what's bothering. No. I guess worship was a little ruckus today. And I pulled it off. But, you know, so we drove out. And God does such wonderful things when everything doesn't go right. Doesn't he? We were 80 miles from Columbus, Ohio, and the Prius died. Forever. No, we're not having a moment of silence, love. I'm sorry. But I will take my water there. 240-some thousand miles on it. Here you go, that's mine. And we're driving along. I had it in the shop this summer, or this spring, and they said, yeah, there's some problems with it. And I said, well, we just got to get it through the winter and let Gavin practice on it, because it'll be his first car and his first winter. Something with 250,000 miles would be a good learning car, because it doesn't matter what happens. So anyway, we're driving along on I-70 heading into Columbus, and it just dies. And God is so good. You know, where he died, we went across the ditch, and there's a used car place there. No, we didn't buy another car, but it was hot, and we went over to there just to talk to them. We figured they knew people around here, and they had air conditioning, and they're two young guys, and they were doing nothing. So we called AAA to get the car towed, and we were waiting. They said, within the hour. So we go in there and said, okay, how are we going to get to Columbus from here? We're 80 miles out. So we go on and look up Uber, and yeah, they don't come to that place. None. We tried it 4 or 5 times. No one would answer to give us a ride. So I said, all right, well, we'll find a rent-a-car. And so we got online and we looked up Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and they said, yeah, you can only rent it if you go out and come back to the same place. You can't go from one destination to another. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Now what do we do? So the truck driver, he shows up, or the wrecker, flatbed, two young guys get out, you know, and I'm chatting with them and having a good time when they load it up on the thing, and as they're driving it around, the guy at the used car place said, well, you can leave it here until you figure out what you're going to do with it. I said, all right, you got anybody that'll buy it? He goes, yeah, there's the Road Warriors are around here. He said, here's the number. I said, all right. So we call the Road Warriors, and of course, they don't get back to you. It's sort of like the Uber drivers. And so the tow truck comes around. They say, well, we'll put it right here alongside the garage. And he said, what are you going to do with it? I said, well, the Road Warriors, we're trying to sell it to them. He said, well, we buy cars like this. It's still on his record. I'm like, well, that's even a better deal. I don't have to worry about it. I said, how much? He said, I don't know. I got to call my daddy. I said, all right, well, you call your father. And then Bren was trying to get an Uber again. They didn't come. And so we were sitting there waiting, and he's waiting to hear from his father. And then the other guy that was in the tow truck, he said, you know, there's a lady around here that drives the Amish around. Maybe I'll give her a call and see if maybe she'll drive you 83 miles to where you're going. I was like, well, we'll give it a shot. It's either that or we're hiking up the shorts and we're, you know, we got to get to this meeting. So he gives her a call and we're waiting on him. And the kid comes back. He says, I talked to my father. He said, how much you want for it? I said, as much as I can get. He says, I said, how much are you going to give me for it? I don't know, my father gave you $250. I said, well, I want $300. I just figured, you know, I got no bargaining chip in this game. You know, I'm 9 miles from New York, or 9 hours, I mean. And so he says, well, he said, we won't charge you for the tow and this and that. I said, whatever, fine. That works. He said, well, my mom's going to bring the money. Fine. And then this guy calls back and says, hey, the lady that hauls the Amish around, she said she'll give you a ride up there. I said, well, that's wonderful. So I get witnessing to these two guys, and the mother shows up. Bren starts sharing with her, and within 20 minutes, we lead all three of them to Christ, and we end up praying for them, you know. And then the lady that drives the Amish around, we didn't have to wear black hats or anything. She just said she'll take us as we are. Now we're unloading everything in our car. We're going to try to figure out how to pack it onto in a suitcase to get it back in an airplane. But she gives us a ride. And she had just the day before had to go to the hospital with the Amish. And they had a stillborn. And so she has to do them also. And she goes in all the time when they're having babies. There's 30 of them, 30 families in that area. And the oldest couple, the grandmother and the grandfather, they had how many kids? 19? I think they had 19 kids, 200 grandchildren. Yeah. Here, I thought we were doing good with 10. 200 grandchildren. That's farming right there. You want to keep the farm going, that's how you do it right there. But we got to the, you know, she drove us all the way there, and it cost me almost everything we made off the car to get there, but we got there. And then we got to pray for her, and we left, walked into the hotel, and the kid working at the counter, young kid, reminded me of little Larry Walker, who ain't so little, and I just started witnessing to him, just a beautiful young man. And he believed in the Lord, and I said, look, what's your 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan? Bren says, honey, I'm going to the room. I'm tired. All right. So 25 minutes, me and him sat there, and we just chatted about the things of God, and he was so open. And I got to pray for him, and later on that night, I came back. We were going out to dinner, and I came out, and I said, where is it? He said, it's right here. And he wrote down his 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan. And I was just so encouraged by it, you know? The next morning, or the day we were getting ready to leave, we come out, and what was her name? Brandy. There's another lady there, Brandy, and I said, you know, God's got a call to God in your life. You can see the smile on your face. You know Jesus Christ. She said, I do. My daddy was a preacher. And I was like, ah, yes. She said, I went to World Harvest Bible School out there with Rod Parsley, and I was like, I said, okay, so what are you doing now? She said, I'm a single mom. My son's 18. I said, well, praise God, it's time to get back at it. You've got a call. There's people's lives going to be changed. There's young girls that need to hear from you. And we just went through this whole thing, and she was in complete agreement. And just we got to pray for her. We walk outside. Another lady's coming in with a Browns shirt on, Cleveland Browns. It's like sort of like wearing a Buffalo shirt. Sorry, I just had to throw it out there. It'll probably never happen again in the history of the Jets, but I just had to throw that one out there. Because we won. But she had a Brown shirt on, so we got talking to her, me and my wife, and during COVID, it affected her kidneys, and now she does dialysis 3 days a week. So we got to pray for her for a healing, and it was just one thing after another. And then the young lady, Brandy, who was working at the hotel, we're getting ready to leave, and she comes out. I said, now listen, you better get going with them young girls. You better start calling them today and building into their lives. She said, I'm working on it. She holds up her phone, and she's listening to me preach on one of the other sermons back there. I was like, wait a minute, she took my name off the computer? And then, what about HIPAA? I mean, come on. If you're watching, Brandy, I'm just kidding. But I would just, everything. You know, it cost us a car, but three people got saved. Another person wanted to walk with the Lord. Another young man has got a 5-year plan for his life. So no matter what happens, we keep our eyes on Christ and we keep doing what he told us to do. Amen? Right. Because, and it's funny, we got to the meeting and the apostle that was overseeing everything, he was like, oh man, you guys are the ones that your car broke down and it died. I said, yeah. I said, but the good news is this. He said, what's that? I said, I had a dream. And God said that you had a set of keys for me. I do, he says, but I can't find them. Whatever. But you know, God always does wonderful things when we keep the right attitude. When we know he's able to supply above and beyond. And when we have joy in the midst of it, like Akira said, when you feel the lump and the mass and you hear the doctor's reports, and then you've got to stay in that mindset, I know you by 1,000 names, and healer is one of them, right? When you've got to stand on there and nobody else is standing with you, sometimes nobody else does, and they're not encouraging you every day, and you've got to dig in and get close to the Father and not be moved by anything you hear. I want you to know you do that and everything starts to change. I can't encourage you enough. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. A very familiar scripture that everybody has read. It said the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the evil one. Man, that's good news, isn't it? You know, when one man said that word appear, like, because there's going to be, Jesus is going to appear again. Amen? And so many times Christians think that, you know, Jesus is someone that's way up and out, you know, in the universe somewhere, a million galaxies away, and that's where he's hanging out. But that word appear, when you research it, it's almost like the picture that it paints when he's appearing, he's not far away. Isn't that what the scripture says? He's closer than a brother, amen? I got some brothers in here that I'm pretty close to. And my God's closer than them. But that word appear, when he comes again, it's almost like there's a curtain and the curtain parts and he just steps in. That's what the scripture says. When he appears, so here he is, he appears, and what is he here to do? He appears for one purpose, to destroy the thing that's been destroying us. Yes. The enemy. That's what he wanted to do. His whole purpose was to destroy your enemy. Isn't that good news? The greatest enemy that you have, he came down and he said, when I take care of him, the rest of them are going to run in fear. Amen. I only need to take care of one. I only need to take care of one. And then all the rest are going to fall like dominoes because I'm going to give you authority over every single one of them. That's good news. Amen. So the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the evil one. That destroy, it means to loose, to release, or even to dissolve. So all the authority of the enemy has been dissolved. It's been dissolved. He has no authority over you. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm free. Right. You see, you're not free if you don't believe. Because it's always by faith. Amen? Right? He said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That's right. And he said, you're saved into what? The kingdom of God. And in the kingdom, Jesus came down to destroy the work of the enemy. So all the work he's been messing around in your family, Jesus came to destroy all of that. He tried to destroy you and you're still here. And you look good. He tried. You're just a better warrior now than you used to be. You're just a stronger warrior now than you used to be. You're not as pathetic and weak and anemic as you were when you first got saved. None of us are, amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because he destroyed the work of the enemy. The problem was we didn't believe it all. I don't know about you, but you know, my mom was saved long before I was. I think she was with the apostles, but I'm not sure. And but my mom would say what the word of God said when I came home in the military, and I'm like, that's out there. That's crazy. She was telling me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, okay. We didn't hear about that in the Methodist church. You didn't hear about any of that stuff. And I come home on leave. It's 2:00 in the morning and I'm, you know, I've been out all night. And she starts telling me this stuff and it's like, do. I wanted to believe it. I knew there was something to it, but that was way too far. That was way too much. And then once I got saved, your eyes are open. And now you start to understand. And for all those of us that understand, you need to make sure that that's on your mirror. No, he came and he destroyed the work of the enemy. My enemy has been destroyed. He's dissolved. He does not have authority over me, my marriage, my family, my finances, my workplace. He has no authority there. I'm all done giving him credit for being destroyed. But too much the church gives him more credit than he deserves. Way too much credit. If he's been destroyed, why do we give him any credit? Oh, the devil's been beating me up, brother. That's a lie. He hasn't been beating you up. You've been walking in unbelief. The word says, right? Have you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony? Amen. Right. So you've already overcome. What did you overcome? Did you overcome your spouse? Did you overcome your workers? What did we overcome? We have overcome the enemy. We have beaten death. That's good news, isn't it? We'll never die. We just go from here to heaven. And we get a glorified body. And after playing basketball yesterday at Ed Koons' party, I'm glad. Now I need these again. For this very end, this is God's design. And Jesus was manifested in the flesh that he might destroy, that he might loose the bonds of sin and dissolve the power, influence, and even the connection of sin. Jesus came to destroy your connection with sin. Remember when you first got saved? You had a tight connection with darkness, didn't you? Oh, you knew its first name. But Jesus came to break that connection. You know what you need to do? Let go of that connection. That means walk away from some people that you knew. That means have nothing to do with them if that's the path they're going down. Oh, but brother, I love them. And God's sending me to win them for Jesus. You ain't strong enough yet. Because if they're pulling you back into the same foolishness, run away. Amen. Run into the house of God. Get with other men or women of God and ask them, hey, I need strong people around me. Would you walk with me? I've seen the way that you have vanquished the enemy in your life. Isn't it easy to find people who you know are walking in the victory? No, huh? Yeah. All right. Honey, we might better take up another line of another occupation because, but it's easy to see people who have joy. Isn't that easy to see? Any of you grumbly guts in here, you need to believe for your healing. Because obviously you believe something different than what his promise has said. Yeah, but brother, I've been in this a long time. Well, then you ought to be the one leading. A whole slew of people. Why? Because if you've been in this for a long time, then you understand the word of God. You know the enemy has already been defeated. Therefore, there should be people around you learning from your victory. Right? And if you have nobody walking around you, then you better find somebody a little bit stronger. You better find somebody that's got victory in the area that you're weak in, whatever's holding us back. We all have weaknesses. I need the elders. I have to have Pastor Tom and Pastor Jeff and Pastor Bob to keep me straight. I got issues. And they're evident everywhere I go. I have to have other strong men around me. Why? Because everybody gets goofy thoughts at times. Right? Everybody gets goofy thoughts. Remember when we first get saved, man, and the presence of God, the power of God is there, the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes. You got joy unspeakable. You can't figure out why people that have been walking with the Lord for a while are doing nothing. What is wrong with them? Why don't they have any joy? 5 years later, you're in the same boat. The new ones come in. Woo! Jesus is Lord. God bless God. I just am so thankful I'm saved and I'm free. Oh, don't worry. You'll get used to it after a while. You'll calm down in a little while. You'll be one of us. You make sure you tell that person, I don't want nothing to do with that. I want to find those that are running strong in the things of God. And I want to see the power of God manifested through my life. Why? Because the enemy has already been destroyed. Our God has already done the work. Amen? And the enemy attained a right to work the works of darkness through the disobedience of the first Adam. The second Adam came to destroy the one who walked in his sham authority and to take it from him. The enemy brought death, destruction, and chaos. into the realm of man, and Jesus came to destroy all the authority he had. Isn't that good news? All the authority over your life, he lost. He cannot stop you. You are unstoppable when you walk in faith, according to his word. You know when you're easy, an easy target for the lie of the enemy? When you walk all by yourself. Isn't that what happens? Right? Come in here and Bradley offended me with his pose because he was bigger than I am and now I'm offended. I'm not coming back to church, even if he is a nice guy. And then we go off and we pout and we act childish. And then we allow a thought from the enemy to stifle what God is doing. John 17:4, he said, I glorified you on the earth, this is Jesus talking, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. So the Son of God came to destroy the works of the enemy. And what did he tell? What did he say to the whole world while he was speaking to the Father? I have glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. So did he do the job? Right, because he doesn't lie, amen? And he doesn't change. Right. So he said, this is why I've come. This is why I appeared. This is why the curtain was pulled open. And I stepped in to this, onto this earth, so that you would see how the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost work together. How the kingdom of God manifests itself through one person. That no matter where you walk, you can have victory. Even when you're treated ill, none of those things change your attitude. Well, we could stay there for a couple of days, but we won't. And then Jesus said, Daddy, I've done everything you asked me to do. I've accomplished what you wanted. I'm here to glorify you. I've done it. I've done it your way. I've walked in righteousness. I was baptized by John, mere mortal man, the thought of God himself being baptized by what he's created. John had an understanding too, didn't he? He was like, I shouldn't even touch your sandals. I am not worthy of that. All I'm baptizing you in is repentance. What do you have to repent of? I got nothing. And Jesus said, yeah, I know, but we've got to fulfill the law because I've got to be obedient to the Father in order to destroy all the works of the evil one. Because the keys that he had to control humankind, I've got to make sure that every one of them are mine when this job is done. And John said, yeah, but you're going to baptize him with what? With fire. You're going to baptize him with fire. Oh, that the fire of God would fall on the body of Christ. That no matter where we go, your car breaks down. Hot dog, three people are getting saved. See, I expect when your car breaks down, four or five. That's the expectation, right? Let's have a competition. A righteous one, right? Are all things possible? Well, yeah. Yeah, why is it that only some have to utilize their gifts and others... My car broke down. What happened? It's a flat tire. And then they have a bad day. Can't stinking believe it. And they go around, they give everybody an attitude. Because they broke down a mile from their house with a flat tire. And somebody comes with a can of Fix-A-Flat and goes, psh, oh, thank you. But everybody at your workplace, their day was ruined. We've got to have the right attitude, knowing that the enemy has been destroyed, that God has made a way. Jesus said it's already finished, it's accomplished, right? John stated, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's right. So therefore, your sin has been dealt with. Amen? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin has been dealt with. How many times did he deal with it? Once. Once. It's an ongoing process of you and me not looking at our sin. How long do we stare at it and agree with it? I don't care if you've made a mistake this morning. How long are you going to look at it and stare at it, complain? How long? He said, I've already taken care of that. I've already dealt with that. The enemy has been destroyed. You're righteous. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm righteous. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're getting there. No, don't say that. No, no. They're righteous too. Oh, you know? Acts chapter 10, 37 to 38. It says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Right. So when we look at some of the works of the enemy, we know that God has already dealt with sin, right? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? So therefore, he has dealt with sin once and for all. When you become a child of God, you are righteous. You are righteous. You are righteous. You are righteous. You are righteous in the eyes of your God. I pray that you're righteous in the eyes of your mirror. And every time somebody comes up and says, oh yeah, remember what you did? Nope. No, I'm righteous. Right? That's the word over your life. And the word for everybody you meet on the street is restoration. Because that's the name over this church. It's a church of restoration. He's restored us unto himself. And he wants to restore every single person that you come in contact with, because you're the minister of the gospel. It's not a noun. It's a verb. And it means to minister, right? So every single person is here to minister to someone. There is not a day that should go by where you don't minister to someone. Why? Because the enemy's been defeated. You're a child of the Most High God. All power and authority lives on the inside of you. Death has no victory. The grave, or death has no sting. The grave has no victory. You're free indeed, that no matter what, you're walking down the street talking to somebody in a tractor trailer, womp, womp, whack, and you're gone. Hot dog, I'm in eternity. I'm in the presence of my God. I must have finished my job here on the earth. That's the way that I view it. I just think about it. Whenever that day we die, man, what a good day that's going to be. Amen? It's going to be a joyous day. But some people, Christians, you know Jesus Christ the Lord? Say, yeah, you ready to die? What? I don't want to die. Well, nobody wants to die, but we know what happens when we do die, that it's victory, glory to glory. It's nothing but victory. Why? Because death has already been swallowed up. It's already been swallowed up. It's done. You don't have to deal with it. You close your eyes here. You open your eyes in eternity with the Father. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? You're not even going to notice when them worms are going. Them cockroaches get in there. That's what I think about when I think about what I want to happen to that body. Because that body's done its job. I don't want nothing to do with it again. I want a new one. And God said I can have it. So he's dealt with sin. And it says here in Acts 10, 37, 38, right? That he went around doing good and what? Healing. Okay, so sickness is not of God. Can we agree on that? God doesn't use sickness to teach you a lesson. Why don't you go over there and break your child's arm? There, that'll teach you, boy. What idiot would do that? I mean, there are some out there, but prayerfully, that's none of them in here. There are some people that think like that. God doesn't. So Jesus came. How many got healed when he prayed for him? All of them. Right. So we know that sickness is not of God, but Jesus came to heal. So the enemy that's been destroyed brings sickness. Jesus, when he walks in, brings healing. Amen? So that's for how many of us? All of us, right? What else does he say? He says, and all were who, I'm sorry. Yeah. And all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What's oppression? The definition of oppression is to remove from someone the power to control their own lives. That's what the devil does. That's what oppression is. You lose the power to control your own lives. How many people do you talk to on a weekly basis? I couldn't help myself. Oh, it's just who I am. Oh, I've been doing this for so long, you don't understand. That's just my nature. That's oppression. Jesus came to set the oppressed free. He empowered us to go set the captives free. So we're giving them the ability to control their lives again. Isn't God a good God? He gives us an opportunity to make decisions. What an amazing Father. He gives us the ability to make a wrong decision. I don't know about you, but I don't want it anymore. No, I'm glad you're here, brother. I'm glad you don't want it either anymore. There were some bad decisions you made years ago. Almost as bad as mine. That's right. But he's given us the ability. When you're free from oppression, you're able to make good decisions. Amen. Yes. Right? Yes. If you're making bad decisions, you probably haven't been set free by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he sets the captives free, and oppression is one of them that he said, that means he's given you the ability to make the right decision. Now, that's not always just from bad stuff. It's not about the drugs and the drinking and all of that. But it's also about the call of God in our lives. How many walk in oppression to a certain degree because they fail to walk out the call that God has placed on their lives? You have control to do this. Oh, brother, you don't understand my situation. Yes, I do. Jesus destroyed the work of the enemy. You're free indeed to do whatever you want to do. He already destroyed the oppressor. And if people's lives aren't being changed, then maybe we're not believing all that God promised us. Right? Because if you're not oppressed, you're free to do the will of your Father. You have the freedom to make the decision to do what he's called you to do. Can't blame it on anybody else. I'm never blaming you again. I'm never blaming you again. Maybe cutting that tree down that I was up in, I'll blame you for, but not for whatever else happened in my life. She did. We were cutting a snowmobile trail. The tree wouldn't go down. She says, climb up in that tree and just shake it a little bit. And she's down there with the hex with the saw. Me in the tree. I love you, Mother. Life was interesting. And a whole lot of fun. Now I have the right to make my own decision. I ain't climbing the tree. I didn't have that freedom back then. I was oppressed. Not really. You know, the enemy thought he was destroying the Son of God. And really what he was doing was destroying himself. How many decisions have we made that we thought we were doing what was best, but really we were hurting ourselves? How many words have come out of our mouths that we wanted to win so badly we used all the words and we should have used none? How many times? He's been vanquished. Don't agree with him. You're not lost. You're not destroyed. You're not oppressed. You're not. You've been given the ability through Christ to make the decision to do what's righteous and to be free. Amen? I was talking with my sons in Bible study this week with Gavin, and we were talking about adultery. We were reading in 1 John, and we were talking about adultery, and I was reading in the Proverbs, and it says, the man that messes around with an adulterer is reduced to a loaf of bread. I thought, that's incredible, you know? And the really weak ones, they're like half a loaf. Or something like that, you know? You go more than once, you're just half a loaf. You don't even make a full loaf of bread. But how pathetic do we become if we run after the things of this world and the cares of this world? Right? Why? I'm not oppressed, therefore I have the ability to make the right decision to be faithful to my wife. Amen. But brother, you don't understand how mean she is. Yes, I do. I've heard your wife talk. Good one, hon. All right. Right? Because I'm not oppressed, I can make the right decision to remind myself of the gift that God has given me And I can proclaim that I'm going to walk in that victory no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, no matter what she has said or I have said. We have the ability because oppression has left me. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not oppressed. I'm free indeed. Because if you're in the house of God this morning and you are saved, then you have the ability because Jesus Christ has destroyed the work of the enemy. He's done it. It's done. What did he say when he hung on the cross? It's finished. But he had to walk it all the way through because he wanted every single key to every compartment in your heart and in your head in there when he went to take them all. He didn't do half the job. He did it all. And he completed the work, and every key he grabbed, and he said, every single one that names my name becomes free indeed the rest of their lives if they agree with the word of God. That's what happens. Every key. Therefore, every lie has been destroyed over your life. Every lie. Every sin washed away in the name of Jesus. Every one of them. So where do we go from here? What we do what Jesus did. We go around and we start to heal those that are in bondage or those that are hurting. We prayed for that lady with the kidneys. It was not even a thought in my mind. She said, yeah, both of my kidneys. I've shut down. I got to go 3 days a week. Well, come here. Let's pray for you. Let's believe God for the miraculous. Akira just told us about her miracle. Amen. I believe he's a miracle worker. Right? Wasn't that the song we sang? Yes. I forget how it goes. Waymaker, miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm afraid. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So why are you afraid? Because of people. Right. So because you're waiting to see how they receive you. Jesus didn't wait. He lived in such a way that people were screaming out that were blind, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on us. Oh, that would be the cry of everybody in the street when we walk down. I believe we're coming into that season. I believe. Because if we'll lay down our lives and we'll cut out all the things, all the distractions that have been distracting us for a long time, and we walk out into the fullness of all that Jesus Christ has accomplished because he has destroyed the work of the enemy, therefore we get to walk in his power that he has given every single one that believes. Amen? Everyone. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved or not. It doesn't matter what you know or don't know. You got to know today that you truly are free, and all power and all authority has been given to them that believe. Goes back to believing. I believe that we have all that we have need of, and he's going to continually give it to us. It's the victory that he's given us. That's why we're able to shout. We got to shouting in prayer this morning. Just got to shouting about the glory of God, about the goodness of God, about the victory in Jesus Christ. Because if we come to the house of God and we won't shout, then I wonder if we really believe all the promises he's given us. Is it possible to go through a day and never shout unto God, never encourage somebody, never proclaim who he is after all that he has done, and walk in victory? If you're walking in victory, then somebody's going to hear about it. Somebody's going to. Like the victory I had yesterday when I whooped up on Manchuk and Travis Johnson. Yeah, that's a flat out lie. I was terrible. I never made one shot, I don't think. But it was fun. John 6:29, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent, or who he has sent. You have to believe he does all the work. Akira believed, she got her healing. That was it. Those three down there in the wrecker crew, the mother, the son, and this other redneck, he had a big old chew in his mouth, sleeves cut out of his t-shirt. Big old beard on him. He just comes walking up. I said, how you doing? I'm doing good. Nice to meet you. You too. Got his shades on. got his hat on, his ball cap on, standing there, and I'm looking, I'm like, it's a day of salvation for somebody. Might as well be him, amen? See, and that's got to be the attitude everywhere we walk. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. And it is for somebody. Why not the person that you're coming in contact with? Why not? Why not ask them? Right? Why not you? That's my thinking. Why not you being used of God? Why not me being used of God every single day? Because it's a day of salvation for someone. It's the day of deliverance for someone. It's a day of healing for someone. Why not through you? I got faith in you. God's got more faith in you than I do. Because he's the one that sent you into the darkness to carry his marvelous light. That's what he's done. How did he know that you would be victorious? Because he already destroyed the work of the enemy. You got to get this. The work of the enemy has been done, finished, destroyed, dissolved. You're victorious. He can't stop you. He can't hinder you. He can't hold you back. Nothing can stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Nothing the enemy has. Nothing. 1 Corinthians 15:34, last verse for today. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. I think that's the key. Awake to righteousness and sin not. If you awake with righteousness in your heart, I'm righteous, the enemy has been vanquished, he has no authority over me, I'm no longer oppressed, I'm no longer walking in fear, he hasn't given me that spirit anymore, but every thought I'm going to have is righteous thoughts. Everywhere I walk today, righteous words are going to come out of me. You won't sin. Because when our mind is filled with righteousness, when we're staying focused on what God's called us to do and say, then righteousness is our path. Amen? Righteousness is our path. When we walk in right, you don't have to worry about sin. Wait a minute, he's already taken care of that. Right. So I'm going to walk in righteousness. I'm going to walk in my strength. I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to walk in anything else. No unrighteous thought, no unholy thoughts, no one. And you know what? Sometimes the enemy uses stuff. He's sneaky. Pathetic and weak, but sneaky. I was looking up one of the things on the internet, just on ESPN. And all of a sudden this ad came on and I was like, whatever, you know, usually you can wait 5 seconds and click off on them. And it was the new Exorcist. And I'm like, ugh. I hated even looking at it. I didn't watch the first one. And then this one, young girl, and then she comes into the church. Now they're gonna demonize, they're gonna make it look like Satan's more powerful than the church. Isn't that what Hollywood always does? Right? Hollywood always tries to make it like Christians are weak and anemic and pathetic. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not. Tell your other neighbor and say, neither are you. You're not weak. You're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Anybody comes in and they got something they got to get rid of, then any person in here can lay hands on them and cast it out. Every single one that believes. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. But you better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there were some sons of Sceva that had an issue. They thought they could do it through somebody else's power. You believe?